know, we're holding at the bottom of page Tesvav, also Os Tesvav in Megillah. Continuing with the drashas of the Pesukim on the Megillah, the pasuk says, "Ish Yehudi hayu b'shushan abira." Ushmei Mordechai v'chola. There was a Yehudi man. Now, the simple meaning Yehudi, Rashi mentions on the pasuk, since by this point the Aseres HaShvatim had been taken into Golos, and mostly what was left was Yehuda and Binyamin and bits and pieces of the other Shvatim. So, therefore, the generic term for a person from Bnei Yisrael came to be Yehudi, and therefore, in the simple sense, it just means that. The same way as the word Jew in English, after all, and there's similar words in all the other languages, also come from the same source, because ultimately it comes from the name Yehuda. But still, the Gemara is looking for a drasha. Well, first of all, the question is, before we get to Yehudi, the question is, that it mentions is Yichus, but it's a Shmoy Mordechai, Ben Yo'ir, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ishimini, so it's only mentioning some manafshach karmer. Ili yechusi ka'asa, if it's coming to give us yechus, the yaksav alayz alad binyamin by Yaakov, then it should go generation by generation all the way back to binyamin. So why is it, maishnah hani tzlasa v'tuloi, why is it only mentioning these three, ben yuri, ben shimi, ben kish, and what about all the generations in the middle? And why dafka these three are being picked from his whole ancestry? In fact, in Targum on the Megillah, you have an entire thing where it gives over there literally generation by generation going back to Binyamin. It does something similar for Haman as well. It gives a yichus for him going all the way back to Amalek as well. But anyway, but in the actual text of the Megillah, we only have those three generations and then Ishimini. So why is that? On top of that, also, so there's actually different gersois over here in the Gemara. There is a girsa which Tosfos mentions over here that when it first asks about Ish Yehudi, that first the question is why he's being called Yehudi, and then after that is going to be a question about why it mentions only some parts of his ancestry, and it gives an and as far as the Yehudi, it gives an answer of Muhtar Bani Musa, which we'll talk about soon because we're going to have it on Omer Beis, where in our girsa in front of us, the Gemara brings it on a different question. Anyway. So Tana, Kulan al Shmoy Nikru, that because all of those names of his ancestors, Yoyer, Shimi, and Kish, even though in the simple sense they are the names of actual ancestors of his, but they're also mentioned because they tell us something about what he himself accomplished. Ben Yoyer is why he's called Ben Yoyer. Ben Shehair, a name Shah Yisrael B'Tfilase, he enlightened the eyes of the Jewish people with his tfilas, the Laihudim Hosa'ora. So because of his tfilas, the Jewish people had their eyes enlightened and they had light and then goodness and so forth. Ben Shimi, he's called that Ben Sheshomak Hel Tfilase, representing that Hashem listened to his tfilah. And Ben Kish is Ben Shenokash or Shehikish al Dalsi Rachmim. He knocked on the Kish, Meloshin Hikish, that he knocked, or Nokash, as the other Girsa means the same thing approximately, that he knocked on the, and banged on the doors of Rachmim and Shemaim, or Poskuloy, and Hashem opened up those doors for him. Because at that point already, Marsha explained, the Shari Rachmim had already been locked, and only Mordechai's Tfilah saved the situation, so therefore therefore we mentioned Ben Yuri, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. There's a few different points that they make in this. One interesting one that's brought from Reb Chaim Abulafia is why it mentions them in this order. So first we're mentioning that Hashem answered his tefillah. But like this, we have a story in the Gemara in Tainis where one time they were davening for rain and it rained first thing in the morning. So everybody thought, good, look at this. We didn't even start davening yet, and Hashem already answered our tefillahs. So one of the Chachamim tells them, no, on the contrary, it shows Hashem didn't even want your tefillahs. So therefore, like, fine, just give it to them and let me not have to hear from them. And another time, it rained only at the end of the day. And also, he tells them, that's also not so good. It means that Hashem was saying, you know what, let them suffer the whole day and be fasting and davening, and then fine, I'll sort of grudgingly give it to them. To hear what the Gemara is stressing, it wasn't like that. Hashem listened to his tefillah. You shouldn't think he enlightened the Jewish people's eyes that his tefillahs were answered. You shouldn't think Hashem didn't want to listen to his tefillah. No, Ben Shimi, Hashem wanted to hear his tefillah. And you shouldn't think that Hashem delayed answering him. No, Ben Kish, as soon as he knocked on the door, it was open. So therefore, that's why it mentions these three things in particular. Next, Korila Yehudi, the Korila Yemini. So now the Pasuk calls him Yehudi, and it also calls him Yemini. On the face of it, Yehudi means a person from Shevet Yehuda. And Yemini means a person from Shevet Binyamin. So, Korila Yehudi Alma Yehuda Kasi. So when it calls him Yehudi, that seems to mean that he's from Shevet Yehuda. Now again, in the simple meaning, we'd say it just means that he was a Jew. But, still, the Gemara is looking for a deeper meaning in it. But Korila Yemini Alma Binyamin Kasi. But then on the other hand, it's calling him Yemini, implying that he comes from Shevet Binyamin. So which one was it? Amar Rav Nachman, Mordechai Muchter Bini Musay. Mordechai was crowned with his nimus. Now, there are many different explanations of what that means. Rashi says that nimus is a Greek word meaning a name. You have it actually in, for example, you have the name Kloinimus, means it comes from Greek words that mean a good name, a beautiful name. It's a Greek translation of the name Shemtoi. And similarly, you have other examples like that where the word nimus means a name. So therefore what it means is that he was crowned with beautiful names. He was called both a Yehudi, as in that he's distinguished, as a member of Shevet Yehuda, and that he's distinguished as being a member of Shevet Binyamin. So that's one explanation. Marsha brings over here. Now there was a Girsa. First of all, there's a parenthetical note in Rashi that says that, now like this, there was a Girsa that Rashi had in front of him that had the word over here, Na'are. So Rashi says, what does that mean? What is that? He takes it out, and in fact, in the standard printed Gemaras, you don't have it. But there are a few other possibilities. One of them is the word does in fact belong there, but it's not Na'are, but rather Ka'adi. So Ka'adi can mean like a beautiful ornament, but this parenthetical note in Rashi, which maybe comes from an earlier version of Rashi or something, is that the word Ka'adi means, can also mean like this one. And the word would actually be Ka'adi Rabba Bar Bachana. The next piece that the Gemara quotes is that Rabba Bar Bachana says something in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So there was a Girsa, Ka'adi Rabba Bar Bachana, meaning just like how it was with Rabba Bar Bachana. Why was he called, now on the face of it, Rabba Bar Bar Chana? Why the double bar is because it's tracing him back to his ancestor Chana, who was very distinguished. So in the same way, it would mean over here that Mordechai is being traced back to his distinguished ancestors, both from Yehuda and from Binyamin. Ka'adi would mean like this one, like this example of Rabba Bar Chana. Now over the note says, it's not from my Rebbe. So Rashi himself takes out the word. A different explanation of Ka'adi, the Aruch also has the Girsa Ka'adi, and it means like an ornament. In other words, he wore his distinction like an ornament. There's an explanation also, I think, from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz that says that it means we went around in talus and tefillin and tzitzis and so forth. He walked around with them ornamented as a yid should, proudly. So that's another meaning of it. So according to that, then, Muchter Bini Musa is not telling us specifically about the fact that he's from Shevet Yehuda and from Shevet Binyamin, but rather that he was openly and proudly a Jew and walking around crowned with talus and tefillin the way that a Jew should be. There are also Mephoshim who have a Girsa instead of the word Na'are, that instead of the word Ka'adi, they do have the Girsa Na'are, and they explain it's short for the names of the Chachamim who I mentioned over here. The Nun for Rav Nachman, the Ayin for Rabbi Yeshua, the Ayin of Yeshua, and so forth, and therefore it represents the different opinions that the Gemara is bringing over here about the meaning of the titles Yehudi and Yemini. So a number of different possibilities over here. Anyway, that's why Mordechai is being called Yehudi as well as Yemini. They said, Oviv Mibinyamin v'ima miYehuda, means he was from both. His father was from Shevet Binyamin, and it has to be, because after all, the ancestors who I mentioned over there, Shimi, Yoru, Shimi, and Kish, are from Binyamin. Kish, in particular, was the father of Shaul, and Shimi, we know, is the one who cursed out David, as we're going to have in a minute. So necessarily, on his father's side, he was from Shevet Binyamin, but when it calls him Yehudi, means his mother was from Shevet Yehuda. And because the family was so distinguished, is therefore it makes a point of mentioning that he was from both Binyamin and from Yehuda. It also meant, in other words, that he had the strengths of both of those Shvatim. Yehuda is the powerful Shevet. Binyamin is the one who maybe wasn't so ready for kingship yet. We see that Shaul had it and then lost it, but nevertheless, that Binyamin has other advantages. You have actually in the bracha to Binyamin, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitzra, it actually mentions on the pasuk over there, one of the meanings of that bracha is what Mordechai and Esther are going to accomplish. So he had a Yichus from his mother's side as well. He had the strength of Yehuda, and he had also the Milos of Binyamin. The Rabbanan say another thing, why he's called Yehudi and Yemini. Mishpachas Misgoris Zubazu. The two families, the two Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin, were arguing with one another, which one is saying that they can take credit more for the fact that Mordechai is there to save the Jewish people. So in other words, according to the Rabbanan, it's not that he was actually descended from both Shvatim, but both Shvatim are both, each one is taking credit for the fact that there exists a Mordechai in our generation. Namely, Mishpachas Yehuda Emeres, so the people from Shevet Yehuda would say, I'm the one who caused, we're the ones who caused that Mordechai was born, because back when Shimi ben Gera cursed and reviled David, and David's close advisors over there, Avishai and others, are telling him, we should go kill the guy, how you talking, he should act that way, and David said no. As we know, the Alter Rebbe explains in Egeres Chofei in Tanya, the idea being that the Eibishter is constantly pouring energy into everything in the world, and that's what allows it to continue existing. And if Shimi didn't have energy in the Lamaila at that moment, he wouldn't have been able to say anything. Anyway, whatever, the point is that David recognize that Shimi is doing it, that this is coming min hashamayim, and he doesn't kill Shimi, and the result was that Shimi was able later on to father a child who was a son who later on is going to be the ancestor of Mordechai. So if it hadn't been for Shevet Yehuda, so Shevet Yehuda was claiming, if it hadn't been for our Shevet, Mordechai wouldn't have existed. Mishpachas Binyamin Emeres. Meanwhile, the family of Binyamin said, "Mini Kosi, look, he's descended from me. So if we weren't around, then he wouldn't exist b'chlal." So each one is taking credit for Mordechai being there, and therefore that's why it calls him Yehudi and Yemini in token of that. On the other hand, Rava Amar Knesset Yisrael he decamel idach kisa. On the other hand, Rava says, yes, it is the Jewish, it is the Jewish people, not specifically Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, but it's the other Shvatim who are calling him Yemini and Yehudi respectively, but in the opposite sense, not in the complementary sense, but rather to complain about, to complain about him, Rashi explains. They were saying, Ru'uma osu li Yehudi, uma shilim li Yemini. Look at what the Yehudi did to me, the member of Shevet Yehuda, that this whole trouble came on us in the first place. Umashilim liyamini, and also back in the past, what the Yemini, what the one from Shevet Binyamin did, that also caused all this trouble. Ma osu liyehudi means faker. They were saying, Deloy katle David l'shimi ben gera. People were saying, you know, it's too bad David didn't kill Shimi back in the day. Shel molim lahoya Shimi ben gera, v'katle David. If David had killed him, loy havim esyalid Mordechai, then Mordechai would have never been born. Demekani be Haman. And Haman was angry at Mordechai, and Mordechai, in fact, kind of provoked Haman by not bowing down to him. So people were blaming Mordechai that we got into the situation in the first place. If Mordechai hadn't been here, then the whole trouble would have never started in the first place. So they weren't crediting Mordechai with saving them. Adrabba, they're complaining why there have to be a Mordechai in the situation in the first place.
They have to complain. Obviously, after there was a Hatzalah, did they drop it? Or was it for only certain?
Maybe you could say that still. They're saying in retrospect, I mean, you know, we can see Mordechai saved us, but on the other hand, he also got us into the trouble in the first place. How were they saying afterwards? I don't know. But yeah. And similarly, the Gorim Litzar of Israel, and therefore it caused all this trouble to the Jewish people. And on the other hand, Umashilim the Yemini, and on the other hand, they were saying, look at what the Yemini, the one from Shevet Binyamin, how he paid us, Deloy Katli Shol Agag, where Shol didn't kill Agag in the first place. Shol Mother, they have Agag, if Agag had never lived, but Katli Shol, and if Shol had killed him like he was supposed to, Loy have Messiah and Haman, and Mekani, they Mordechai, but Gorim Litzar of Israel, then Haman wouldn't have been around, and again, the whole thing never would have started. So each one was blaming the respective Shevet for having made it possible for all of this to happen. Now Marsha explains this a little further. The reason why they're using the expression, now they're saying Mashilim Liyamini, where's the Tashlumim? So like this. You could say, I mean, look, what the Yehudi did, what David did, sparing Shimon's life, is a very good thing. The fact is, Mordechai did accomplish the Geula with his tefillah. So the Yemini, Shilin, he paid back and he fixed up what his ancestor Shaul had done by leaving Agag alive. Therefore, they're using the word Shilin the Yemini in a double sense. Yes, we recognize that Mordechai saved us, and with that, he at least he undid the effect of what his ancestor did by leaving Agag alive in the first place. But on the other hand, in a way though, if David had not left Shimi alive in the first place, then we wouldn't have had all this trouble there, because the only one who provoked him was Mordechai. And the same thing, so in that sense, that's why they're using the expression ma'osu the Yehuda or Yehudi or ma'shilim the Yamin. Ion Yaakov points out another nuance in it as well. After all, what Shaul did came before what David did, so why are they mentioning it out of order then? So he says like this, because you could say, look, the fact that David didn't kill Shimi, you could argue, is a good thing. You could say, or you could say, okay, you know what? You know why David didn't kill Shimi? Because Shimi was acting properly. He wanted that the kingship should return to Shaul's family. That's when he's yelling and cursing at David. That's what he's saying, that you're a man of blood, and you overthrew the dynasty of Shaul, and therefore now Hashem is paying you back by having to run away from Avshalom, etc., etc. So Shimi was looking forward to the restoration of the kingship of Shaul. So therefore, so you could say, so Shimi was acting correctly. But now when we find, though, the fact is that Shaul himself had acted wrongly and left Agag alive and everything that developed from there, then you can realize that, no, Shimi was acting incorrectly. And therefore, so David should have actually exercised his rights as a king and had him executed. So therefore, they're mentioning what David did first, even though it's out of order chronologically, because they're saying only when we consider what David did as far as Shimi, we can show that it was wrong only by referring back to what Shaul had done a generation earlier, by not wiping out Amalek like he was supposed to.
Why didn't David have him right away in order to talk to
No, well, that's what we're saying. Well, you said no. David did leave Shimi alive, and the result is eventually he fathered a child. Shaul had left Agag alive, and he fathered a child, and that's where all the trouble began from, because that child was the ancestor of Haman. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan gives a different explanation of why. So again, we're still working out why Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi as well as Yemini, which means that he was from Shevet Binyamin. So far we have several answers. So now Rabbi Yochanan gives another one. La'olam b'Binyamin kasi. In fact, Mordechai did come from Shevet Binyamin. V'amai kori le'Yehudi. So why is he being called Yehudi? Al shem shekofer b'Avodah Zarah. Because he denied Avodah Zarah by not bowing down to Haman and to his statue, and he showed that therefore they didn't believe in Avodah Zarah. Shekolak kofer b'Avodah Zarah nikri Yehudi. Anybody who denies Avodah Zarah deserves to be called by the title Yehudi, whether he's from that Shevet or not. One point is because the word Yehudi, the name Yehuda contains within Hashem's name, it contains within the name Yudke Vavke. Another point is because the word Yehudi is similar to the word Yehudi, as in he believes in the Achdus, in the Achdus of Hashem, as opposed to any other power, and so forth. So where do we have an example? Shenemar. You have in connection with Hanani, Mishael, Vazariah, when people are going on mastering on them and informing the Nebuchadnezzar that they alone out of everybody hadn't bowed down to a statue. So they say, Isai Gurin Yehudoyin, there are men from Yehuda, Dimanisa Yosain Gomer, where you appointed them in charge of things in the country above. Well, and now they refuse to bow down to your statue. So now, Tosfos points out like this. The fact is that the Gemara brings different opinions in Masechta the Sanhedrin. Everybody agrees there that Daniel was descended from Malchus based up. The question is, were Hanani, Mishael, Vazariah also? You have different opinions over there, whether they were also from Shevet Yehuda or whether Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says there they were from other Shvatim. So therefore, the Tosfos says, our Gemara then is going, Rabbi Yochanan is going to point to that second opinion, they were in fact from other Shvatim. So why are these people calling them Yehudoyin? Must mean because they're denying Avodah Zarah and therefore they deserve the title of Yehudi. Marshall says, what?
They got that title after they refused to bow down to before.
So now the pasuk when it says so, not necessarily when these people are speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, are they using the word Yehudayim, or maybe they are, but in a different sense. Maybe they just mean it as a general term for Jew. But when Daniel is writing his sefer, then he wrote that word in. It's not like he has to quote word for word what they're saying, after all. But he writes that word because they deserve that title. However, Maharal Shas says that no, actually, there's a different Gemara in Sota that indicates that they were in fact from Shevet Yehuda. So then, in that case, it would be more that why does it need to mention the fact that they're Yehudoyim? It would be enough just to mention that there were these three men who don't want to listen to Nebuchadnezzar, and it didn't have to mention the word Yehudoyim, whether they are in fact from Shevet Yehuda or not, except to stress this point that they're denying Avodah Zarah, and therefore they're called Yehudim. And we have the example, Kidur of Shimon ben Pazi. We have the example, like the way of Shimon ben Pazi explains the Pasuk in Divrei Yom. Da'amr of Shimon ben Pazi, Rav Shimon ben Pazi said, "Deki have a Pasuk Abba Pazi b'Divrei Yomim, when my father Pazi would begin Daushin in Divrei Yomim, Omar, he would say as follows." Now, Divrei Yomim, we should explain, is a bit of an unusual sefer in Tanakh. So it's like this. In a way, it's kind of a recap of everything that happened in Tanakh up till that point. The first parak of it is it goes quickly through all the genealogies in Chumash Bereishis. So you have the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, the nations that descended from Noach, the generations from Noach to Abraham, the descendants of Yitzchak and of Yishmael and Yaakov and not Yaakov and Esav. So Rashi mentions over there, it's Alderach like you have. Rashi mentions at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev from a Medrash that why did it has the brief description at the end of Parshas Vayishlach about Esav and his descendants and their history, because we're, so to speak, Hashem is sifting through the sand to find the pearl, and then once he finds the pearl, he discards the sand, the same way Divrei Yomim begins, like, so to speak, sifting through the sand of all the different peoples and nations and individuals and whatnot, until you start finding the pearl of the Jewish people. So then, the next few prokim in Divrei Yomim are basically family trees of different families among the Shvatim. So Rashi, the Pirush over there is not actually from Rashi, it's from somebody else, but whatever, explains there, the gist of it is that Ezra had access to different Sifri Yuchsin that families kept, and he put information from them together to create that first part of Sefer Divrei Yomim. And for that reason, there's a lot of places, there's places where it repeats information, there's places where it has, where information seems to contradict one another, there's places where the dictuk of the words is very strange and so on and so forth, because it's all based on different individual records that each family kept. And for that reason also, you have, for example, let's say Shevet Yehuda, it has a huge amount of information about, but then you have some Shvatim where it has next to nothing, because those Sifrei Yichus didn't survive. Anyway, but after all, it is part of Tisvei HaKodesh, so there has to be deeper meaning to it. The Medrash in Vayikra Rabba that says the entire Sefer Divrei Yomim, after that, by the way, after Perek Tess and onward, it basically recaps the events of most of Shmuel Beis and all of Malachim, and that it retells some of the stories over there, sometimes with more or less detail. It adds other details about what happened during those times, etc. But anyway, the Medrash says, the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba that says that Divrei Yomim is only meant to be Darshan. Meaning, with everything else in Tanakh, you can douch in the Psukim, and you have all over the place a level of drash to explain Psukim, but ultimately, in Mikra Yotzim De Pshuta, you have the simple meaning of the Psukim, and you have to give that attention as well. Divrei Yomim, the Medrash is saying, is exclusively meant for drasha. So now, when Rav Shimon ben Pazi's father would give a drasha on Divrei Yomim, then he would say as follows. We had, in fact, a few months ago, we had a Gemara in Pesachim that mentioned that there used to be something called Sefer Yuchsin, which was a medrash on the Sefer Divrei Yomim that went into all these kinds of details, everything that it says in the Pesachim over there, and Daushening over there, and then the Gemara explained there were hundreds of camel loads of drashas just on one chapter in it, and then the Gemara says most of it was lost. So we only have the little scattered things like we have here in our Gemara, and in various other Gemaras in the Drasha. Anyway, sort of Pazi would say, Omar, kol dvarecha echad heim, all of your words in this Sefer Divrei Yomim are one, but under Yodin Ladershan, and we know how to douch in them. Meaning, in other words, Pazi was saying, That even though you have many places in those chapters of Divrei Hayomim where you have family trees that seem to describe different people, but we know based on the drushes that we have the Kabbalah that go along with it from the Sefer Yochsan that actually many of those psukim are actually referring to the same person under different names, representing different aspects and facets of his personality and his accomplishments and whatever. So here's an example. The Pasuk says is describing over there about someone named Kolev ben Chetzron. Now in the simple sense, the Malbim explains on the Pesukim over there, in the simple sense, Kolev ben Chetzron is the grandfather of Kolev ben Yefune, the Meraglim. But the Gemara understands here in Sota and in other places that Kolev ben Chetzron is another name for Kolev ben Yefune. So the Pasuk describes a wife of his and kids that he had and then it says, V'ishtei ha-Yehudia, his wife Hayahudia, where Hayahudia could either be a title, the Jewish woman, or it could be meant as a name, that her name is Yehudia. Yolda, she gave birth to, as Yered Avi Gedur, to Yered, the father of Gedur. So in the simple sense, what it would mean is, in other words, there was a city in Eretz Yisrael called Gedur, and this Yered was the ancestor of the people who lived there, either that or he was the head, he was the Rav, or the Rosh Hashiva, or whatever, of the city of Gedur. And the same thing with the other ones, but the Gemara is going to douse in it different. Ves Chever Abi Seichai, and Chever the father of Seichai, Ves Yukosil Abi Zanoyach, and Yukosil the father of Zanoyach, Ve'elad Bnei Visya Bas-Paroi, then the Pasuk continues, these are the daughters, these are children of Visya, the daughter of Paroi, Asher Lokach Mored, whom Mored, Mered, whatever, married. So first of all, we have to ask, Yehudia Shema, was her name Yehudia, Vale Visya Shema? You see from the end of the Pasuk that her name is Visya. We, by the way, commonly say Basya. This is Basya Basparoi, but that's because the Medrash darshens it and says that Hashem said, you took in a child who didn't have whose parents weren't able to take care of him, and you raised him as though he was your own. Therefore, I'm going to, so to speak, adopt you as well and make you my daughter. You're going to be Baska, the daughter of Hashem, and therefore that's where the name comes from. But in the Pasuk, it's actually Bisya with a Chirik. Anyway. So why is she being called Yehudia at the beginning of the Pasuk? V'lama nikra shma Yehudia, al shekafra b'avodah zarah, because she denied avodah zarah. Dichtiv, and we know that because the Pasuk tells us in Parashat Shmos, v'tered bas pari luchatz al ha'yor, she went down to bathe in the Nile River, and that's where she found the basket with baby Moshe. V'omer av yirchen mashum av shim ben yichoy, melamed she yoda luchatz migulu leveis aviyah. She went down there to wash herself off from the avodah zarah. Gilul literally means the filth, because it is avodah zarah is filthy and disgusting, of her father's house. So she was toveling l'shem gevus. Marsha points out in Sota, where this Gemara is also, that because it says that she went, if it said that she went to bathe by or something like that, then it would just mean that she wanted to go for a swim or something. But since it says luchitz al hayor, then therefore the Gemara is darshining that she's not just going there to bathe stam, but she's going there to bathe for a specific purpose, namely in order to cleanse herself from the tumah of avodah zarah and become a geirus. This is before Matan Torah. Technically, there's no such thing as geirus yet, but geirus at that point meant abandoning avodah zarah and accepting the other mitzvahs that existed at that time, the seven mitzvahs, bnei noyach, and whatever other ones had been given by that time, and she was doing that. So therefore she's called Yehudia. So we see that someone who denies avodah zarah, like she did, is called Yehudia, and therefore by the same token then, so the title Yehudi, so we see that Yehudoyin is used for Hanani Mishael Azariah, and by the same token Yehudi is used for Mordechai. So that's the connection between this drasha and Divrei Hayomim with what we were talking about Mordechai. Marsha points out the reason why we're doubting in this in the first place is, given that the Pasuk finishes off that these are the children of Bisya Basparoi, whom Mered married. Now, usually children are miyuchas after their father. So if we literally mean that Mered married Bisya and they had all these children, then it should call them the children of Mered. Why is it calling them the children of Bisya? Therefore, the Gemara is understanding that it's meant as a drasha, and all these names of the children actually refer to Moshe Rabbeinu and to different aspects of what he accomplished. Now Yolda, what do you mean she gave birth? She didn't give birth to Moshe, but her Rabuya Rabise, she only raised him. And that's Eloi Malach, comes to tell you, Shakalamagado Yotzin Bisema, Vaseich Besai, when a person raises an orphan or an orphan boy or girl at his house, Malal of Akosiv, Kila Yolda, and the Pasuk counts it as though he gave birth to him. So therefore, so Bisya, Bastia, whatever, can be called Moshe's mother in the sense because she raised him. So this, by the way, actually, the Gemara is going to explain soon that Mered is another name for Kalev. So it wasn't at this time that Kalev married her. Kalev is actually a lot younger. He describes himself. He was 40 when he was sent out as one of the Meraglim, which means that he was born 40 years before Yitzchak. He was born 39 years before Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Meanwhile, Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old at Yitzchak Mitzrayim. So later on, many years later, we're saying Kalev married Bastia. She had lived to a very advanced age, and he married her. Maybe he had two wives, because it also says that he was married to Miriam. Or maybe after Miriam passed away is when he married her. Anyway. So, let's douse in the names now. Yered Zem Moshe. The first one, Yered, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Lama Nikra Shema Yered. And why is he called that? Why is he called Yered? And it's possible. She Yored Lahem Yisrael, Mon B'yom of B'shviloi. Because in his times, the Mon came down for the Jewish people in his times and in his chus. Agoris Hagra actually has a different girsa of it, that he was the one who brought down the Torah to the Jewish people. Gdur. Then we have Gdur. Now the Gemara is skipping the Avi for the moment. It's going to douch in the Avis later on. But Gdur, he's called that Shigodur Kutsisei and Sharisrael. He fenced in the breaches of the Jewish people. He made sure the Jewish people stay on the right path and are doing what they're supposed to be doing and stay away from what they're not. And he davened for them. He davened for them when they were in trouble and Hashem was threatening to breach and destroy them and so on and so forth. Chever is called Shechiber as Yisrael, Aviyam Shemashmayim, because he connected the Jewish people to Hashem. So Marsha explains each one of these things then represents that a different facet of what Moshe accomplished. He brought down the Mon. Marsha explains God approved to say in Shor Yisrael actually means that he brought down the Torah, which is that fences in the breaches because it makes sure that people stay on the path they're supposed to. And then the chever is that he was like a sarser, he's like the intermediary between Hashem and the Jewish people to connect them together. Soichai is shenasalam liyisrael kesukah. He became like a sukkah protecting the Jewish people with his tefillos. Yikusil shekibu yisrael aviyam shabashmayim olakel b'yomav. In his times, the Jewish people had a constant hope and expectation for Hashem. Yeah, the mon is coming every day, for example. So every day they have to look to Hashem to get Zilunt and Yuma to give them the mon and the slav. And they reached a very high level of betochen. So that's represented in the name Yikusil. Zanoyach sheizniach habenisem sheyisrael. The name Zanoyach, which again in the simple meaning is the name of a city. Means it's another name for Moshe, and he's called that she's Niach of Nisayim Shor Yisrael. He caused the sins of the Jewish people to be forgiven, and Hashem, to be forgotten, that Hashem, so to speak, is willing to forget their Averis and forgive them. Then now we skip the three Avis. You have Avi Gdur, Avi Soicha, and Avi Zanoyach. So now the Gemara is dashing all three Avis together. Avi, Av Bechokma, Av Betorah, Av Benevius. Means that he was the father of. He was the one who taught all the future generations Torah, he's the greatest in Chochmah, he's the greatest in Torah, and he's the greatest in Nevuah. So each one of those things, in other words, goes with the, so Avi Gedor, in other words, he was great in Torah, and in that way, he was able to fence in the breaches of the Jewish people. They had picked up bad habits in the time. When he brought them the Torah, then he worked for the next 40 years on correcting those bad habits. That's Avi Gedor. So in other words, we said Gedor is Shagodah, for saying, Avi means that he was the chief. He was the first one to do that. Similarly, Avi Soichai represents Av Torah, represents Av Chochma rather. They have the Chochma to know how to daven properly on behalf of the Jewish people. And Avi Zanoyah, that he's the one he's the greatest of all the Nevi'im. He knows full well how hard it is to get the Jewish people to do the right thing, and still he davened for Hashem to be mechaper.
So the
Mon
was the Schus of Aaron, but it came back in the
Schus of Moshe. No, the Anani Akovic were in the Schus of Aaron, and they came back. And the Mon, to begin with, was in the Schus of Moshe. So all those names mentioned in the Pasuk are actually names or nicknames for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash actually says that Moshe had 10 names. You have a bunch of the ones here, and you have all the ones here in the Pasuk, and you have a few other ones that are mentioned in different other places. And also the Medrash mentions that it's brought in Yaakov Shimoni, that what it was is each member of his family had a different name for him based on their perception of him. Amram had one name for him, and then Yocheved had another, and Aaron another, and Miriam another from among all these names over here. And in the end, so the Torah only ever calls him by the name Moshe in tribute to Basia, who saved him and raised him.
Stop calling him those names.
I guess everybody else stopped calling those names afterwards, which is why we only have them. They're very young, yeah. Okay. Now, when the pasuk finishes off, the Eilu b'nei Visya bas Parei asher lokach Mored, when it says these are the children of Visya bas Parei whom Mored married, so you have to ask, Mored Shmoy, what do you mean? His name's not Mored, but Kolev Shmoy. We see from the pasukim before that his name is Kolev. So it means, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yovei Kolev Shemorad Batzas Meraglim, it's appropriate that Kolev, who rebelled against the ideas of the Meraglim, and should come, V'yisa Bisya Baspare Shemorad B'gulul Be'savia, and he's the appropriate one to marry Bisya, who rebelled against the idols of her father's household. So therefore, in other words, so the Pasuk is giving them new names in this Pasuk, Yehudia, at the beginning, and Mored at the end, to represent that they both had this in common, that they both rebelled against the people around them, and acted and then followed the proper path. So therefore, so we see the point is though that we see that so this is what Rapazi is saying, that you have so many names in this passage, which on the face of it seem to refer to different people. But we're saying Echad Haim, they're all really one person, they're all different names and facets of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know how to douche in them, as you just did. And we see that Mored is another name for Kolev, and Yehudia is another name for Basia, again highlighting what they accomplished in swimming against the tide of the other people around. So the point is, therefore, you see, Yehudi is somebody who denies about his Zara, and therefore that's what we're saying, that's another reason why Mordechai was called Ish Yehudi. The Medrash, by the way, when it brings these names, has a different take on some of them. For example, the Medrash actually, when it doesn't separate the Aviz from the names like the Gemara does over here. Here, for example, the Gemara had Darshan Avi Gedur as two separate things. Avi as one thing and Gedur as something else. But the Medrash, for example, mentions Avi Gedur is one thing. It means he was the father, he's the chief of all the future generations who fenced in the Jewish people, and similarly with the other ones. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, Gimel Adabez. How are we mevatel the Golos? How do we cancel and get rid of the Golos? Is by removing the cause of the Golos. And what was the cause of the Golos? Was the lack of Avas Yisrael, as we know. So now we're already at the time after the end of Maaseinu V'Avodaseinu. We're already at the threshold of the Ge'ola. So surely already that cause of the Golos has already been fixed up. And there's no question at the end of that it's definite and certain that at the end of this period, there's no question, not even the shadow of a doubt, that the time of the Geula has come already. As Chazal said, Kolu Kol HaKitzin, all of the set times that Mashiach should have come by have already passed, and therefore there's no question that we're on the verge of it. Halachas of Shabbos, continuing. If a fly or something like that falls into food or into a drink, you can't just take out the fly because that would be burder. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you would have to take some of the food or the drink with it and throw them out together. The Alter Rebbe and the Siddur and Hilchsa Rabbis L'Shabbosa says really that's not, you can't really rely on that heter. What you have to do is you actually have to tilt the cup and pour and start pouring out until the fly or whatever falls out. He mentions over there that once you have the cup tilted, you can't blow on the fly to get it out. That would also be border. But what you can do, you can blow it to get closer to the edge, and then when you tilt it, then it'll come out as soon as possible. And he talks about that in detail.
What was the distinction of the kitzur?
So the kitzur Shulchan Aruch just says that you can take out, you could, for example, you put in a spoon into the thing and take out some of the liquid together with the fly. The Alter Rebbe is saying you can't do that. You have to tilt the container. What you can do is you can blow on the fly or whatever it is until it comes close to the edge, and then you tilt. Yeah, and then you tilt it, and then you tilt it and pour it out. Right. Right.
Well, if he wants to throw it out.
So if he wants to throw it out, would it be baltashkes? I mean, baltashkes to a certain extent depends on what's expected to be eaten. So yeah, if you have a person in his household where nobody would eat such a thing, then yeah, I guess it wouldn't be baltashkes. I don't know. Another halacha. If you need to crush pepper or salt or whatever to put in your food, then you can't do it in the normal way. You would, for example, take the handle of a knife and crush it on the tabletop. You can't use the regular kalim for it. The Alter Rebbe actually just says that a machtesh, which is a grinder, it's better to be machmir, but where possible, implying, in other words, the Alter Rebbe might be a little more lenient about you don't necessarily just need a knife handle on the edge and a tabletop. He might allow you to use a bit less of a shinery to do it since you're doing it directly in order to eat now. Okay.